Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Berzola. What's going on here? Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Berzola, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And this is tea party time here in San Francisco. We just got back. I've been rushing. It's quite interesting that the was held at Union Square, which has a tall memorial. They're not coming for me. If you hear that siren, there's nothing I can do about it. They should be coming for some politicians. Anyway, it's a commemoration of Admiral Dewey, who was at Manila Bay and the Spanish-American War. Across the park, the square, is the St. Francis Hotel. When diplomats and foreign dignitaries come to San Francisco, they often stay there. The president usually stays up at the Fairmont up on Nob Hill. But today was quite interesting. With all the signs criticizing socialism and how it hasn't worked in other countries, ironically, maybe it's an unusual juxtaposition, somebody from Sweden was there. Now, when a dignitary stays at the St. Francis Hotel, they put on the flagpole, they put out, run out the flag of the dignitary. Today, it was Sweden. I thought that was rather interesting. So today, there's some interesting birthdays and some interesting events. Today is the birthday of Leonardo da Vinci. And since we're all concerned about health care, the first woman surgeon, there were two medical developments today. The first woman surgeon, Emma Thompson, was born today, I think in 1829. And also those people who have diabetes, the Canadian doctor Bunting and two other doctors discovered insulin on this date. During the war, around that time. Also, since we had pictures of George Washington, this is the birthday of the famous artist who painted that famous painting that Dolly Madison saved before the British got to Washington and burned the White House. Charles Winston Peale was born today. We also have a great civil rights advocate. He was the head of the Sleeping Porters Union, the blacks on the trains. His name was Asa Philip Randolph. He was born today. And then, of course, we have these evil people, Kim Il-sung, who is the dictator of North Korea. And then it's just an irony. I was Harold Wilson, the first black mayor of Chicago. He died today. No, he was born today. Excuse me. Ironically, in 1988, I think it was, I was walking past Chicago City Hall, and all of a sudden the ambulances were screaming and they were running into City Hall, and I said, oh, must be for somebody important. Turned out that Harold Washington had dropped dead. He used to go to Southern Fried Chicken places, and that probably caused all that cholesterol in his heart and led to an early death, but that's kind of, you know. I guess Emma Thompson couldn't save him if she was around at that time. Also, for those people who like chocolates, Mr. Cadbury was born today, and his firm is being acquired by Kraft Foods. Kraft is also headquartered in Chicago, and Kraft Cheese, and they've been it's a huge international conglomerate. They've been buying up all kinds of food processors around the world. And for those deadheads, today is the birthday of Phil Lesh. And for people who are literati, Henry James was born today. Oh, 1829 for Miss Thompson. And 1452 for Leonardo da Vinci, one of the great minds of our time in history. Great inventor. And people who like Hints from Heloise, she was born today. Let's see, who else? And then of the interesting deaths, we have in 1605 Boris Godunov and a famous opera by Mussorgsky, probably the most popular of the Russian operas, was composed around his story. We also had, and of course, President Abraham Lincoln died today. Boy, these sirens are really, they're not coming for Abe Lincoln. And then one of the great warrior kings of Sweden. You know, the Swedes haven't fought a war since, won a war, I think, since the 17th century. Charles XII became king of Sweden. And then today, since we're having this big Tea Party gathering in Union Square, in 1850, the city and county of San Francisco was incorporated. Some people think that the earthquake should have finished it off in 1906. And then the biggest, fattest president of all, William Howard Taft, threw out the first baseball today. And then those people who are very fond of the bank cards, in 1952, the Franklin Bank issued the first bank card. And for everybody who's concerned about Saturday mail delivery, in 1957, the federal government, which still owned the post office at that time, still ran it until it became a corporation under Nixon. They reestablished Saturday delivery. Now they're talking about abolishing Saturday delivery. In fact, I remember there used to be two deliveries a day in the residential areas, and three in the commercial areas. And on Christmas, in the Christmas season, everybody worked overtime, even on the weekends, for about three weekends up until Christmas, and then you could send a postcard or a Christmas card as long as you left the flap open for 2 cents, for 2 cents stamp. And then today, those of you, since we're talking about the federal debt, in 1962, the United States Treasury announced that the total debt of the United States at that time was $300 billion. And then those who are movie lovers, the great movie Patton got the Academy Award today. And then one of the most notorious cases of of media fiction, Janet Cook confessed that she had fabricated the story of the kid who died of cocaine and crack, who lived in a public housing project. She worked for the Washington Post, and still there are media people, and that's why they're called morons, who have not learned her lesson. I don't know what she's doing today, but people who are thinking of going into journalism and people who read all these papers and the lies, the distortions, and the omissions should be ever mindful of people like Janet Cook, Jason Blair at the New York Times. We had people here at the San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco Old Hearst Papers, who have lied, distorted, and omitted many stories. Interestingly, those of you who are concerned about making your rent payments and mortgages, the U.S. Attorney in San Francisco, Northern District of California, has announced the in prosecution of several people in Washington Mutual Bank, which is now Chase, for mortgage for fraud. And interestingly, we have politicians who are engaged in all kinds of real estate frauds, but yet they haven't been touched. Well, it's time we start exposing them. And even check out in your own neighborhood, in your own cities, if you are concerned about public corruption, especially that which involves public financing of housing and mortgages. Real estate documents are public documents. They're not secret. You can go into your local land recording office and look at those documents and check those people out, no matter who they are. Okay, and then a question has come up again on the smart meters. You go to our YouTube website, our YouTube video site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. Since this month is, we are commemorating the 2010, the memorial of the military disaster at Gallipoli in the Dardanelles. And, of course, we're putting up excerpts from the only interview that Colonel Trevor Hodges did in his 84, 88 years, I forgot. It's up on our YouTube Amicus Veritas site. We're putting up excerpts. And the reason that the Gallipoli is so important is because what Churchill tried to do in the Middle East and end the war by knocking Turkey. Turkey was on the side of Imperial Germany in World War One. In World War Two, they were neutral, and we finally, near the end of the war, and when they saw the Allies were going to win, Turkey came in on the side of the Allies. But there's a famous movie I can recommend it with James Mason called Five Fingers. The valet to the British ambassador in Ankara was spying for the Nazis, and they were paying him, the spy, he was a Croatian, I think, or Slav, paying him with counterfeit money that was made in the concentration camps. So that's the story in and of itself. We'll get into that in another day. Incidentally, if you want to protect yourself against counterfeit money and more merchants are careful about even $5 bills, there is a pen out there, and it's up on our YouTube site. This pen, it costs about $5, and you can rub it against your a suspect currency, paper currency, to see if there's any flaws, and that should help protect you against being victimized with receiving stolen, counterfeit money. So, ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. I've said that many times and will continue to tell you listeners that. So, don't be stupid. Don't be lazy. Ignorance can be costly. So go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, and then our regular websites, AmicusVeritas.org or Verzola.com, Verzola.com. And then our affiliated sites, where our campaign against getting reckless drivers off the road, people who use cell phones, we feel that, and a lot of cops that I talk to, feel that these people should be fines of a minimum of $1,000 and upward if they're for repeat offenders, because they're driving up the cost of auto insurance and medical insurance that's related and that's in these policies, the MedPay, and nobody's talking about that. But safe drivers are subsidizing people who do not have licenses, people who are driving cars that are not insured or vehicles, and people, of course, illegals who are in this country, and we know people who've been victimized by these people. And it's the good drivers, the safe drivers, and the careful drivers who are subsidizing these reckless drivers. So from Montreal to San Francisco, there's an epidemic we hear, and it's credible, of reckless driving. So if you're concerned about the next time your auto insurance premiums come due, think about that, the reckless drivers. Get these people off the road. Interestingly, the Log Cabin Club claims that Abe Lincoln was gay because he shared a bed with his law partner, a guy named Speed, a good-looking chap. And, in those days, it's interesting, half the country was illiterate. And this is one of the reasons that Lincoln said, he was a railroad lawyer, and in those days, a lawyer for the railroad, that was a license to steal. And Lincoln did things in Illinois that would have got him disbarred today by a legitimate state bar association. And there are a couple of them whose legitimacy and ethics are certainly questionable. And we'll get into that on another show of some information I've been given by people who have worked at such as the California State Bar. Anyway, what had happened was Lincoln did things like he got the capital of Illinois moved from Vandalia to Springfield. He did things for the Illinois Central Railroad, got them all kinds of deals, and, this rarely comes up. But the worst thing is that the Log Cabin Club claims that also that because Abe Lincoln knew Walt Whitman, who was gay and who was a nurse, or nursed Union and Confederate soldiers who were prisoners in the hospital, in the Union hospitals, and there's a lot of letters, Leaves of Grass, great writer, and he was gay, but he was also a friendly friend of Lincoln. But that doesn't mean they slept together, which is the inference of some of the more extreme members of these homosexual, lesbian, propaganda groups. I'm still getting over this virus or whatever it is, cold. But in the old days when there wasn't Motel 5 and Holiday Inn and all the Hilton hotels, when people traveled, they slept and they slept together. That didn't mean they had a sexual relationship. But that is the claim of some of these radical members of organizations like the Log Cabin Club. And I dare say that if Lincoln had been living today, he would say that a house full of about the Log Cabin Club, a house full of termites cannot stand. And those of us who look at these political flea bags consider them the termites in the Republican Party. I don't know why sexual preference has to be a prerequisite for political knowledge or political affiliation. It's about economics. It's about the wallet. It's going to be interesting to see. There was media there today covering the Tea Party gathering in San Francisco. Phil Berg, the guy who filed the lawsuit, the lawyer who supported Hillary Clinton, incidentally, filed the lawsuit against Obama, claiming that he was not born in the United States, not a natural-born citizen, as the Constitution requires. There's more information that's come up that Nancy Pelosi, the U.S. representative for San Francisco, and also the Speaker of the House for now, forged papers at the Democratic Convention back in 2008. Also, Bill Richardson, a candidate for the Democratic nomination, was caught by French TV, and we picked it up, saying that Obama is an immigrant. You know, he's one of us, that kind of thing. And Bill Richardson was born in Mexico, although his he's got dark skin because his mother is a Mexicano. But his father was part of that Eastern establishment, the Richardson of Massachusetts. But his father was an American, so he qualifies, even though his mother was Mexican. But Obama's critics, Mr. O's critics, claim, and we have this case that's coming up as a possible court-martial of this doctor who says that he demands that if he's going to serve under this president, or this person who claims to be president, that he should produce a birth certificate that certifies that he was born in the United States. And so far, nothing. And, you know, if Obama was born here, why doesn't he produce the thing and shut everybody up so we can get on and deal with the economics and the other social problems that we have? It just makes no sense for him to stonewall on this, because eventually the truth will win out. Truth tells, eventually. What's the other thing I was going to say? I just came from the Tea Party thing, so I'm running, and I'm just getting over this cold. The other thing is, as I've said before, and I'll bring this up, we'll be putting more on documents up on YouTube, that veterans, even from the Korean War, men who were young men and drafted for that war, or police action, as they called it, who were sexually assaulted by other males, primarily superior officers, they did not get the psychiatric and medical care that they were entitled to from the Veterans Administration. A lot of them are starting to speak out now because of, in part because of the scandals in the Catholic Church, which unfortunately the hierarchy ignored the problem, and they were told, deal with it. And it's costing the church big bucks. I can say one of the reasons, we had a priest at our school who was molested a boy, and when the director of the school, Monsignor Mulcahy, found out, he immediately, the next day the priest was gone. We didn't know in those days whether they were stripped of their Roman collar, as we call it, or they were sent to a monastery or a farm or what. What bishops did, and the reason, their rationale for doing what they did, was that they would remove the priest from the parish, but they would send him someplace else. So like if he did it in New York, they'd send him to San Francisco, and that actually happened with one priest. I won't mention his name because there's a lot of controversy about this guy. Bishops were caught doing this, they said, look, it's hard to get seminarians. It takes about, I think it's from 8 to 10 years to go through the seminary to be ordained a priest, and after you pass, you know, all the canon law and all that. But that was their reasoning, and that's not good enough. It's not convincing, it's not credible, and it's costing. And we still have, they have not dealt with the problem of the lesbian nuns and some, you know, some of the lay people. We've got to take a lesson from the Boy Scouts. There was just a case up in Oregon where involved the Mormon Church, I think, or Mormon Church-sponsored Boy Scout troop that the boys were molested, and there was a conviction, and I think $250,000 judgment or settlement. I don't have all the facts. But we had this case, this type of case here in California, where a British lesbian named Bradstreet, very aggressive, up-in-your-face lesbian, I don't know why she came here. She was a solicitor in England. That's the type of work that I do, or did, since I'm retired, or retarded, as they say, my critics, excuse me. And then she got a California State Bar license. Well, anyway, she was trying to impose her political agenda, sexual preference agenda, on the entire legal establishment and legal community and constituency or economy of this state. Judges, lawyers, clerks could not donate money to United Way or any organizations that gave the Boy Scouts money because the American Boy Scouts were denying or barring open homosexuals in their ranks. And there have been several judgments against various Boy Scout troops around the country where the scoutmasters had molested the boys. And, and then we had these stupid lawyers running their mouths about this subject, a guy who later became a dean of a law school and was also a deputy public defender. I don't know if he defended anybody or even if he did, if he was competent, ethical, or honest. But these are the type of loudmouths who are causing these problems, and people need to tell them to stow it, as they say in the Navy, or deep six it. But you ought to be concerned about these things. Anyway, I guess this is it. I don't know what's happened here. Oh, so this is Peter Paul Verzola. Wait a minute. I got 8 minutes remaining. I'm sorry. We had a little problem with the computer. They are preparing, as we have experienced in the past, the radical left is preparing to do another vote fraud operation this fall. That's the way they're going to keep their people, their minions, in political power, so they can keep getting government grants and contracts and all the rest. So if you, in your neighborhood, you have this right to go into your voter registration office or county clerks and look at the rolls. If you suspect that people are registering and voting out of their office, that's illegal, and it's happened here in California, or people are doing absentee ballots, voting, and they don't live where they're filing the address as an absentee for them to absentee vote. The other thing is that we need to repeal this registration and voting on Election Day. There's no way to check these things. I don't believe that BS. And, you know, once it's done, it's very difficult, if impossible, to undo. So now we have to prepare for the expected attempted vote fraud in the coming months, because there will be absentee balloting. And we've seen people in the Macarena Express when Gore was running for president. They were busing, the radical left was busing people from L.A., they would have them register to vote down there absentee and vote. Then they would bus them up to Northern California, pull the same stunt up here, a register absentee or absentee ballot, and then vote, and then disappear. So hopefully some of us have learned a lesson from that it makes no sense for people to be registering on Election Day and to be voting. There's no reason for this. They've got plenty of time to register, and they can vote absentee in that time if they are legitimate. So it's very important, the franchise. And I don't believe that we need to get numbers to vote. We need to get intelligent voters to vote, people who are concerned. So there's a fine distinction there. Excuse me. So again, I recommend that you go to our YouTube Amicus Veritas video, and also we're on another web video site, Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, and we'll be running little excerpts on the Gallipoli, because it's very important, and one of the reasons it's important is because of the politics of that time and the attempt by the British and the French to get a foothold in the Middle East, Mesopotamia, which is Iran, Iraq, Syria today, so that they could control and own the oil. And these are they've sowed the problems that we that have now unfortunately multiplied today, and it's cost us in not only in money but in blood. And we and now we've got these crazies who want nuclear power, and who knows what these crazy Islamists or these Islamo-fascists are going to do, because they have a long history going back to the Crusades of forcibly imposing their will on Christians and countries that they conquered. The Turks were very feared. They were the shock troops of the or the SS of the Turkish of Turkey at the time were called the Janissaries, and these were shock troops of the Sultan's army. A lot of them had been abducted from all over Europe. That's why you probably today you see red-haired Turks. That's not really the gene that they had, but because these kids had been, the young kids were adopted, abducted, and then put in this military unit and trained, and all kinds of strange things went on. I'll leave that to your imagination. But they built up this military force, and they were the shield as and the fist, as it were, of the Sultan. And they maintained order. They conquered various countries, especially in the Balkans. Greece was under their heel. So, you know, we need to pay attention and learn, if we don't know, the history of that period so that we can understand what's going on today and why things have happened because of what happened back then and what we can do to correct this problem and move on so we can all live in peace and prosper. Excuse me. So, and if you have some questions or comments and criticisms, you can go to my email, pverzola@gmail.com, P-V-E-R-Z-O-L-A @gmail.com. And we will have lining up some interesting guests and some interviews that I did, other interviews besides Captain Colonel Hodges. Oh, excuse me, still at that cold in the coming weeks. So I'm getting over whatever this bug is and a few other things that I had surgery. So we're all getting there, but we suffer, as Tolstoy said, I suffer, but I stand, or something like that. So and if you have some suggestions for shows, I'm getting into this, and we have a few more technical problems to work out. And we'll have Patrick Butler back, one of the finest journalists I've known, honest. I don't always agree with his politics, but that's another story. And he knows real politics because he grew up with it, as I did. So we'll have him back, and then we're going to be doing something on why people tag buildings. It's very interesting getting a perspective from an artist who teaches art, and it ought to be interesting. And we'll have more military history that you won't see anyplace else or hear anyplace else, the audio and the visuals, and consumer information. So we will sign off now. I'm getting hoarse, and my here is our favorite.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey,
Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley.
pigeon of Jack B or Jack Y.
I say...
Yes, never, not, no, none like that. Anyway, this is Peter Paul Brazilla. Thanks for listening.